The Michael K. Show.
McNeil should have slapped him. Should have slapped him and taken the suspension, because the Mets get treated like punks all the time. And I know it's stupid. There's nothing the Mets can now do about it, because the game is almost over. Now, if Severino plunks Hoskins tomorrow, he'll get thrown out of the game, because baseball's gutless and they'll issue warnings before the game, so the Mets will have no retribution. McNeil should have just punched him. And it's game one of the season, for God's sake. Set the tone. If you feel like your knee was almost taken out by this piece of garbage, then fight him. Engage him. You should have chased him into the dugout, because Hoskins got no guts. He runs back until he's got a wall of Brewers around him and then responds to him. What a baby. You're the baby.
The Michael K. Show on 98.7 ESPN.
You hear that? Heat rocks.
And it,
the guy brings heat. That's
I can
you.
Give you a little more. I don't want to step on your...
No. Go ahead and get some more, and then I'm going to do this Yankee lineup, and then we got to pick these phones up.
Yeah, listen, the Yankee lineup can wait, all right?
No, it's very important, Dom.
If you don't know, you don't care. Is... If Hoskins does nothing, think about how money that would be. Like, if McNeil's a crybaby, and Hoskins just goes back, doesn't say a word. Hey, my slide was legal, they just reviewed it. What are you crying about? But the shout back behind the wall of Brewers, that's so weak to me. Like, the lack of a reaction would be, like, the best reaction. Like, give me a break. Go away, clown. Yeah, yell all you want. Look at the scoreboard. We're up 3-1. The league just reviewed my play and said it's legal. Yap. But he had to do the crybaby thing. So it showed it bothered him, but he didn't have the guts to engage him. So that's why, if I'm Hoskins, I feel like I'm embarrassed now. Come on. We're all big boys. And I'll get the reaction from people. Oh, Don, you want him to get suspended? No, but what is the problem with the Mets? They've been punked for years now. Getting hit. Alonso getting hit all the time. And it's always some excuse. It's always some reason why you can't react. Even going back to Piazza. The guy threw a bat at you. And then you stand there and you're pointing. And I go, well, Don, you know I'm getting thrown out of a World Series game, but you got punked and you lost the series in five. I mean, sometimes you got to stand up for yourself and what you believe in. If you felt the guy was trying to take your knees out and end your career, punch him right in the face.
Oh my God.
Or, all right, we're good. All right, you slid. I didn't like it, but I'm not going to say anything. A lot of yap all the time. Yap. A lot of pointing the fingers. Look out. I'm coming for you. And then when the catcher gets in your way, all of a sudden now you get big boy arm. Arr, I'm trying to get at you. He won't let me get at you. Yap. Point. Yap. Point. Yap. You know what? Take a swing. Punch him right in the forehead. Or maybe you get your ass beat. You know what? I need a good ass beat.
Oh, you do?
Yeah, I mean, sometimes that's what it is. You know, if you do it, you get beat up. But you know what? At least I stood up for myself. At least I had a problem, and I engaged you, and you happen to be stronger than me, and you beat me up. But you know what? Stronger doesn't make it right. Like, whoever wins the fight, Peter, doesn't always win the argument. It just means you happen to be stronger or a better fighter. But sometimes when you're really upset, then you got to get engaged. And even if you lose, it's at least I stood up for what I believed in. I showed you how upset I was about it. I showed some guts. I showed up for the fight. Sometimes just showing up for the fight's enough. But the yap, point, yap. You know what that is? It's theater. It's gutless theater. That's what that is. You're not engaged enough to fight. You're mad, but you're not sure you want to get into it, so you yap. All the big talkers are the ones that don't want to fight. The guys that want to fight don't say a word. Or if they don't want to fight, they don't say anything. It's not a debate. Yap. Point. Weak.
All right. That is, by the way, beautifully said by Don LaGreca. I promise you this, and it's such a big deal. Don's been waiting all day. It's the Yankee starting lineup. Mm-hmm. And it's brought to you on 98.7 by Bigelow Tea. Our caller earlier got his wish. I'll tell you in a second, Don. Gleyber Torres is leading off. Juan Soto batting second. Judge third. Anthony Rizzo cleaning up.
Oh, so is Aaron taking requests?
I guess so. But to which I say, what was the point of doing this yesterday? But anyways, Giancarlo Stanton will bat fifth in DH. Verdugo will bat sixth. Volpe seventh. Austin Wells catching and batting eighth. Oswaldo Cabrera playing third. And batting ninth, Carlos Rodon is on the hill. I know his name's Rodon, but I understand that it seems like everyone's just locked in on Rodon.
Some confusion.
That's today's starting lineup brought to you by Bigelow Tea. Bigelow Tea is a proud supporter of the K-Show and the official hot tea of the New York Yankees. As promised, let's go to the callers who've been waiting a long time. Rob in Kansas City, you're up.
What's going on, guys? I just wanted to touch on the Jets trading for Reddick as an Eagles fan. Before I get to my Yankee point, pretty upset about the trade personally, so I think that's a good sign for Jets fans. Essentially, we traded Reddick for Huff in a third-round pick, potentially. Mm-hmm. Reddick's a really good player. Really loved him in Philadelphia, so good news for Jets fans.
That's 1 year. Yankees, that's the risk, but they're all in on this year, so they've got blinders on, man. They're thinking about 2024, and that's it. And in that window, it's an excellent deal.
For sure. In terms of the Yankees, I thought a guy who gets killed, I feel like, a lot on the air. Yes, Aaron Boone did a really good job yesterday managing the bullpen. I'm not sure how much of the game you guys consumed at the end. Although I thought he made the right moves, the actual pitching itself looked pretty rough. Even though the numbers were good, Holmes was getting hit hard. You know, Loizaga wasn't really striking out. So a little concerned about that. Just wanted to get you guys' thoughts on that.
No, listen, Michael always brings it up, that the manager is always going to get killed depending on how it works out. You know, if it works out, then he made the right moves. If it doesn't work out, he made the wrong moves. I thought he did what he had to do. I also think sticking with Cortez, there was a lot of managers that might have been quick to get rid of him after that really, really rough first inning. But when you look at this pitch total, it wasn't that bad, Peter. He struggled early, like a lot of pitchers do on opening day. I thought Quintana, too. I thought he struggled early today, but he eventually figured it out. Sticking with him, I thought, was the right move as well. I thought Boone and the Yankees had a really good day yesterday. They really did.
Yeah, as bad as it started, to think about where it landed, you got to feel good. Let's go to Eric, who's in Union City. Hey, Eric.
Hey, guys. It's good to talk to you. First of all, that movie Duel was Dennis Weaver.
Yes.
And it was directed by Spielberg.
That's right. That's a good call. So, and it kind of has that kind of same vibe as the movie that Peter's watching now. Not exactly the same, but it's that same kind of vibe as Duel. Duel's very underrated.
This is like a classic case of cinema road rage.
Yeah.
I got one a WWE question for Peter and a top five list for Don.
Go ahead.
Peter, first of all, I loved your contributions on the Rivals and Legends stuff on A&E.
Oh, thank you.
And I was wondering if you know how far back they plan to go with Rivals. Like, will we ever see a San Martino Superstar Graham or a Bob Backlund, Greg Valentine kind of thing?
It's a really interesting question. I don't know that they'll go that far back. I know I recently shot one, though. I shot a Rivals recently that was for a solid mid-80s, mid to late 80s, which to me was at least a step in the right direction, because I do think there's a lot of stuff that you could learn and fun footage that you could pull showing some of those old ones that, like, you know, people like me haven't even seen that much from. So there's a lot there that they could tap into.
Absolutely. One of the first matches I saw in Championship Wrestling at midnight was Bobo Brazil and Bugsy McGraw.
Yes, that is a match that I absolutely missed.
Yeah. And Don, the top five I got, I'm thinking about Barkley going down the turnpike. And I put together a list of running backs who had real success with two different teams.
Okay.
I just wanted to get your take on this. Number five, Curtis Martin, Patriots and Jets.
Very good.
Number four, Ricky Waters, Niners and Eagles.
Oh, yeah, good
one. Number three, Christian McCaffrey, Panthers and Niners. Number two, Jerome Bettis, Rams and Steelers. Very and number good. One, Marshall Faulk, Colts and Rams.
Wow. So you know what? I like your list. I think you've got to include Marcus Allen.
Okay.
Marcus Allen had I thought you were going to have him
Chiefs.
In there. Chiefs
so,
and Raiders.
Who are you taking out?
I probably would. Well, only because Marcus Allen's a way better running back than Ricky Waters. I understand it was more split. Curtis Martin's in the Hall of Fame. Jerome Bettis is in the Hall of Fame. McCaffrey, his time with the Panthers was very good. 49ers. I probably take Ricky Waters out.
God, Ricky Waters had right
five touchdowns against the Giants in that playoff game. God, in LT and Fulsom's last game. Yeah. I hated that. But right, Peter, you got to put Marcus Allen. Now, he was way better with the Raiders, but he really had a second career, like a touchdown machine in Kansas City. Well, how many years he played? Do you know off the top of your head, Peter?
What, Marcus Allen?
In Kansas City?
In Kansas City? I feel like Kansas City was 4 years.
Would you have included him?
Over Ricky Waters, yes. I would lean Marcus Allen.
I dig what he was doing there, though.
Kansas City was 5 years.
But productive years, right?
In Kansas, well, I mean, listen, everything's relative, right? The numbers don't jump out the way numbers today would. In Kansas City, the first year, he ran for 760 yards and scored 12 touchdowns, which led the league. The next year, he rushed for 709 and 7 touchdowns, 890 and 5 touchdowns, 830 and 9 touchdowns. His last career, 1997, he rushed for 500 yards and 11 touchdowns. So he was a valuable contributor the whole time. But remember, Marcus Allen, it's a different era. Don, he only went over 1,000 yards 3 times.
Yeah, but never mind the yards, because he was an old man by the time he got to Kansas City. He got to Kansas City at 33, played till he was 37. But here's the number. He played 11 years with the Raiders, 79 touchdowns. 5 years with Kansas City, 44 touchdowns. So he was like a touchdown machine, way more touchdowns per season than he had with the Raiders. Another one that Jacob just whispered into my ear would be Eric Dickerson, Rams and Colts. Trivia question, what team did Dickerson finish his career with?
Obviously, the trade was one of the biggest moments. Like, it was one of the biggest trade moments of all time.
Yeah.
Not all time, but it was a big deal.
But it was a big deal.
It was Walker or Jace. Yeah. Where did he finish his career? Am I going to be mad at myself?
I don't know. I read his book.
Of course you did.
And I was reminded, because I did not remember.
No, tell me.
Atlanta.
Wow. No memory.
His last year in Atlanta, he was was also a Raider briefly too for a year. Yeah, he only played like 4 games in Atlanta. Scary thing is he was 33 when he retired. So
that's crazy.
Because they lasted a lot longer back then. But that was a nice. But you got to get Dickerson in there too. But no, that's who you taking out? Use that.
That's well done. Let's go to Phil in Florida. Has been on hold for a very long time.
Hi, Phil. Hello, Phil. Hi, Phil. Goodbye, Phil. I guess that's what happens when you keep him on hold for 2 hours.
Yeah, I mean, he might have just fallen asleep.
Who knows what happened, but he wasn't there.
Oh, well, guess what? He opened the phone line, so if you're trying to get in, you got a brief moment. 1-800-919-3776. We may have lost a caller. Permanently.
Like, literally.
But he had a hockey call. So does Steve in Nutley. Let's go to Steve.
Hi, Steve.
What's up, guys? I just wanted to talk about the Rangers real quick. I heard a caller the other day worried about a repeat of 2022 where the Rangers went on that little run and burned out. And it's been well documented that Zibanejad and Kreider haven't exactly been great 5-on-5, which, in my opinion, is due to their weak and unstructured forecheck. Do you think it's possible these guys in particular are like picking and choosing their spots to go hard so that they don't burn themselves out and avoid injury so that they can for a deep run?
No, I don't get that sense. I just don't think Kreider's an exceptional puck handler. He's a guy that parks himself in front of the net. That's why he's so good on the power play. Zibanejad, I don't know what it is. I just think that's part of just their game works better shorthanded. 5-on-5, there's just not as much room for Zibanejad to work his magic. And like I said, I don't look at Kreider as being that great of a puck mover. It's going to be if you want to nitpick problems, it's going to be a problem that you can't have two guys that are that productive not give you anything 5-on-5. Now, the balancing act is that the Trocheck line with Panarin and Lafreniere, they're the best 5-on-5. They've produced the most goals 5-on-5 than any other line in the National Hockey League. But You can't have your top line be that that gone, that unnoticeable at even strength. It's something that you'd like to see fine-tuned in these last nine games.
Let's go to... Oh, this is interesting.
I'll go to Dave.
All right, let's go to Dave in Queens. Hey, Dave.
Hi, Dave.
Hey, guys. Thanks. Can I join?
Yes, sure,
of course
please.
You can.
Hi, thanks. Yeah, Don, this is for Don. Don, we used to talk so much about Paul Olden. This Paul Olden. He punked you, allegedly punked you. I wasn't there, but you said that he punked, played
yes,
you, punked
did.
You, whatever.
He did.
And you went down this year to do your business in Florida, and you ran into Olden, and you did nothing, Don. And I didn't
what
like that.
What am I going to do? He's in his 70. You want to fight a 70-year-old man?
No. You want McNeil to brawl like Buddy Housen on Buddy Housen. Buddy Housen's family was there today, so you want him to reenact that with Rose today? Okay, you want him to do that. But you know what? You didn't do that to Paul. You hugged him. You took pictures with him. Come on, Don. I saw the picture. You made it. Yeah, well, you talked so much smack that time about Olden.
Were you there in the elevator with him? You have no idea what conversation I had with him.
Don't go with the Don. Please, were you there? Thing it wins every argument. Were you there when Namath won the Super Bowl? No, but he did it. Stop with that's a cop out.
What should I have done?
You should have confronted him like, hey, Paul, Mr. Olden, whatever you called him. I'm not the little, like in Goodfellas, you should have said, I don't shine shoes anymore, Paul. I have a number one show in New York. National, big time. You're a big time guy, Don. I respect
That's
you.
That's right.
But you should have said to him, I don't know if you remember this, but I remembered it. I brought it up on my show. And now we're face to face. I didn't like what you did in whatever year that was. I would have liked you. I'm not talking about grapple with him. We're talking about.
No grapple.
I thought you should have done that. And I wasn't in the elevator. No, I
right.
wasn't.
Right. So how do you know that didn't happen? I had a conversation with him. He had no recollection of it.
So I said to him,
Paul, you remember me? And that's why the picture, if you look at the picture, he's holding his fist up. We had a conversation about it. He didn't remember it. He apologized even though he had no memory of it. We had a nice conversation. Right. At the end of the day, it ended up being, all right, it's fun. It was something that happened 30 years ago.
Gentlemen, but the thing is, in the heat of the moment in the newsroom, to me that scratch is not interesting. To you it is. But I would have confronted him and said, and not even took a picture and made a foolish looking picture. That's a foolish looking picture. Oh, and you're not a foolish guy. I like you. Come on. You should have told him.
It was something, but wait a minute, Dave, I'm not mad at you. I'm not going to get mad. I know you're trying to get my goat and everything. It happened 30 years ago. He had no recollection of it. We're taught where you're comparing it to an actual physical altercation on the field. And you brought up Bud Harrelson, and he was honored today, and I thought the Mets did a great job. Bud Harrelson had zero chance against Pete Rose and still engaged him because that was the right thing to do in the 73 playoffs. In the playoffs, he engaged him. He got dropped. Pete Rose literally picked him up and threw him down, but Bud Harrelson ended up winning because he still engaged him and fought. Now, if you want to relate what happened with Bud Harrelson and Pete Rose and Hoskins and McNeil of something that happened between me and Paul Olden 30 years ago that he has zero recollection of, and you're supposed to tell me how I'm supposed to conduct myself in an elevator. I'm sorry, it does win every argument. I'm not trying to win the argument. You weren't there to know the conversation that we had. But when I'm talking to him, and listen, we're having fun on the air. Was I ever going to punch Paul Olden in the head? That's not realistic to ever think that. I was mad at the time. I did not have the wherewithal at the time in my career to engage him in that particular moment. I explained to him how he embarrassed me. He had no recollection of doing it. I don't know what I'm supposed to do at that point. And I'm like, you know what? It was 30 years ago. He's a nice guy about it. He actually apologized for something he didn't even remember doing, and I took a picture. So if you think I'm a toolbox, great. But if you think that what I had to do with Paul Olden relates to what happened with Bud Harrelson and Pete Rose and Hoskins today with McNeil, come on. Really?
Yeah,
really?
I don't see the angle here that Don would have had. We'll take more riveting phone calls just like this. 1-800-919-3776. You could still vote TMKS ESPN on Twitter and drop Madness. Anthony's got a big ENN. We got phone calls on the Yankees, Knicks, Rangers, and Mets next. And right now, Don is going to talk about PC Richardson.
Michael loves when he gets to talk about his friends over at PC Richardson. It's a local company, family-owned. He trusts them for his appliances, TV, electronics, and a good night's sleep, too. Their experts use a four-step mattress fitting process to find you the right pillow, the right comfort, the right technology, and the right adjustable base so that your new bed fits you perfectly. They guarantee it. And free in-home delivery on all mattresses, $199 and up. So do what Michael does. Get the PC Richard & Son, the local company you can trust for your new mattress.
Well, spring into gear at Bay Ridge Honda, your go-to Honda dealer serving the five boroughs of New York. All March long, drive home one of over 350 new Hondas for $0 down. Plus, make no payments for 90 days. And as always, get an extra $1,500 for your trade-in. Stay tuned for the new Honda Prologue at Bay Ridge Honda in Brooklyn and online at BayRidgeHonda.com. $0 down payment and no payments for 90 days with approved credit for well-qualified buyers only. See dealer for details, ends 3/31/24.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac, weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And, boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Hey, buddy, hey.
Catch the show on demand wherever you want. Just subscribe to us wherever you get your podcasts.
We got Anthony stepping in for a big old ENN in just a few minutes. Plus, you're voting right now on Twitter, TMKS ESPN, as we speak for Drop Madness. We go right back to the phones and talk to the people. Dan wants to get in on some Yankee talk. What's up, Dan?
Hey, guys. What's going on?
How you doing?
Good. Can I actually pivot from baseball?
You can do whatever you want, man.
Sure.
It's your world.
Awesome. Well, first, I actually have a music question for you guys. But before that, I think you guys are all wet on music, to be honest with you.
All wet?
I see a bunch of Pusics up here, man. Now that it's a thing, I see them everywhere. Even in the NBA, there's Pusics everywhere.
There are Pusics everywhere in the NBA? Really?
Who's wearing it
in the
NBA?
Not everywhere, but Tyrese Maxey has a nice Pusic.
I got to look at this.
By the way, this is deeply unfortunate.
He really does, too. While you look that up, music question. I respect your guys' music knowledge, and I'm a big music junkie. I think this is a really good one. I'm going to do in the format of a Cuddle Mary Trash thing.
Okay.
If I could. So I'm going to give you three artists. I know it's subjective, but in your opinions, I'm going to give you three artists if you could just categorize them as such. I'm going to give you Elton John, Billy Joel, and Eric Clapton.
Cuddle Mary Trash. That's a very difficult one.
Very tough.
Well, not for me.
I'll hang up and I'll listen. I respect you guys.
Well,
thank you.
One's easy for me. I'm not a Clapton guy, so it's easy for me to trash him. I have no connection. So, trash, goodbye. See you later. All due respect. One of the great guitarists of all time. Turned out to be a bad guy. But anyways, let's go to...
We're including that or just the music?
No. Just music. I was just throwing that in. But I am going to... marry Billy. I have to. He's the music of my childhood. It just I see why you would marry Elton. But for me, I'd probably cuddle Elton and marry Billy and Chuck. Yeah,
it's
Eric in the trash.
It's almost impossible. But I probably, and I love all three. But we have to answer the question. The complete catalog. I'm probably marrying Billy. I'm gonna cuddle Clapton and trash Elton.
Wow.
And the reason for that is, I love Clapton and Cream. Layla is one of my favorite songs of all time with Derek and the Dominoes. I mean, the music is just too good. Now, if you're going to tell me just solo Clapton, then I probably trash that. But if I'm doing Clapton, I got to take Cream out. I got to take Derek and the Dominoes out. I can't do it. But if you're just going to go solo work, then I would probably say I'd marry Billy, cuddle Elton, and trash Clapton.
All right, fair enough. I'm not mad at any. It's really a personal taste. Let's go to Sean in Long Beach, who wants to talk some Knicks. What's up, Sean? Let's talk Knicks.
Do it.
All right. Sean?
You pardon?
Sean! Sean! Sean!
What is going on?
Goodbye, Sean. Let's go to Matt in East Windsor. What's up, Matt?
Hey, Don and Peter. How you guys doing?
How you doing?
I just want to make a point about yesterday. You guys were, some caller called in about trying to grow the game of baseball. And Peter, you made a point about you kind of need a, I forget exactly what you said, but you said you need Caitlin Clark. You need someone like Caitlin Clark to come around and change the game. Yeah. Right? You remember saying that?
I do.
So we have Shohei Ohtani in the MLB. If this guy is not going to change the game, grow the game, get people interested, get kids interested, no one's going to do it. Absolutely no one.
Yeah, but I disagree. Yes, from the unicorn of a pitcher and a hitter, but he's not as engaging because he doesn't speak the language.
He's private.
He's very private, doesn't seem to really want to promote himself or promote the game. And I do think sometimes, and maybe this is wrong, but I see it in hockey all the time, is that you'd like it to be an American-born player, somebody that everybody can have a chance to relate to. When you're trying to sell the game in the United States and your best guy to sell it is from Japan, I mean, that's been the problem with hockey. Like, well, Wayne Gretzky's Canadian, Sidney Crosby's Canadian, Alexander Ovechkin's Russian. Like, can we get someone that's American to be great? That's why I think Austin Matthews has the best chance. But unfortunately, Austin Matthews plays up in Toronto for the Maple Leafs. But he was, he raised in Arizona. I mean, that's the difference, I think. And maybe that's wrong. But, Peter, I think that's the deal.
No, I think that's a big miss by the caller. Because even though we all appreciate just the absolute greatness of the man and the player, unfortunately, he has not. First of all, right now we're facing a major question mark about the guy. But beyond that, there's just questions about personality wise. I was talking about it. The conversation started with the lack of interest among African Americans, particularly, finding Black American ball players again, because the numbers have just absolutely nosedove over the last 25 years. I don't think that's going to be a non-American born player who, while he has his own kind of swag, he's not fun. I mean, I love Shohei. He's incredible as a player to watch. But, Don, we're not there yet. He hasn't shown me that he's going to have the magnetic personality that sends people to the ballpark. I'm sorry.
And I don't think baseball's really, we've had this conversation before, really equipped to do it. But we have Aaron Judge, right? I mean, Aaron Judge should be able to check a lot of the boxes you talked about. He's charismatic. I mean, he's not a bubbly personality, but he does speak. He plays for the New York Yankees. He hits a lot of home runs, right? He's a man of color. But it's baseball. He bats four times a game. He catches what's hit to him. He doesn't get to bat all the time. The game's not structured that way. It's still a regional sport, guys. I mean, it's not a lack of promotion. You've got a lot of great personalities, a lot of good players in the game, but they're baseball players. And if you're going to sit down and watch a three-hour game, you'll occasionally see Judge. That's the way it works with the other sports. A basketball player can play all 48 minutes. You see him. You can't help but see LeBron James when he plays.
You know, even to a certain extent with Connor McDavid, he's going to play 20 minutes. He's going to pop. You're going to see him. He's always involved. He's on the ice in the biggest, the key moments of the sport. A quarterback's got the ball every time the offense has the ball. But, Peter, I think you've got you. You think we've got some stars. I mean, just even in New York with Pete Alonso and Aaron Judge. But is the sport conducive for really being able to promote those stars? Is that enough to get people excited about the sport?
Let's talk to Lavelle in Yonkers.
Gentlemen, how's it going?
How you doing?
Love when it's the two. No disrespect to the case, but I love a Don and Peter vehicle.
Oh,
so listen, you know, Michael Jackson didn't ask for permission to call himself the King of Pop. So I'm just going to go ahead and take it upon myself to say I'm the fifth Beatle of the show. I've contributed things to the show. I know it's strong, but work with me. One of Don's greatest rants was from me, my question at Fordham. I will not devalue these men. That was my first thing.
All right. Wow. Good for you. I like that. All right.
Last Call Crew, I came up with that. And by the way, RIP to the Last Call Crew because you guys stop at 6:30 now. But I came up with that name.
That's true.
Then I was the 10th seed in the flub region. And that's when I really made it. That's when my friends, that's when I can go ahead and die now. I was part of Drop Madness. I was the 10th seed. Michael mispronouncing my name like so many substitute teachers in my life. But here's my beef. And no disrespect to Anthony Pusick, who, by the way, is a great guy. And I want to also say this. What he has is a goatee, gentlemen. It's not a Pusick. What a goatee is, not that thing that we're used to with the mustache connection.
No, you're right.
A true goatee is just a beard on your chin.
Absolutely.
So he's just a Renaissance man. That's
but we just goes. We call him we call it a Pusick because his last name is Pusick. We know what it is.
It is one of
the most misconstrued things is that they think that it's that like the goatee is the mustache. No, a goatee is hair just on the chin.
Very strange.
Exactly. But here's my only beef with his. Not to knock him on his hard work on Drop Madness. But I really have a problem with this year. Now, I lost. Why did I lose? Because we went up against Don. Don, you got to have your own region. It's Don versus the field. No one should have to go against Don till the end. It's impossible to beat Don in Drop Madness.
But the feeling...
Don is like pizza. You may love sushi, but you can't put sushi against pizza. You
right.
can't put a gyro against pizza.
I think the feeling was, not just for me, but if you have a region that's got a lot of great drops, that means great drops are going to lose early. Like, you want to try to get the best drops to last as long as possible, so I thought, why don't we mix it up a little bit? Like, even in the NCAA tournament, it's not like all the Pac-10 teams are in the same conference.
Well, that's right.
Or in the same bracket.
Right, but even if he kept everything else the same, I feel like you need your own flubs. You're just too strong, bro. No one can beat you.
I hear what you're saying.
You're done.
We're in a tough spot.
I don't know what we can do about that. I don't know if there's any way to fix it. But,
I hear what you're saying.
I love his confidence. I love what he did there. That was good stuff.
But also remember, it used to be a different way. We had to switch it because if you had Don in one region, we'd lose too many great Don drops. And whatever, he ended up cruising to the title anyway. So we're just trying to make the best thing we can.
Can I make a request for a call?
Yeah, sure.
Let's go to Josh in Manhattan.
All right.
I want to be confrontational today.
Okay. What's up, gentlemen? How you guys doing today?
Hi, Josh.
How's everything? Hey. Listen, Don, I love you, and I want to have you back on this one.
But
I think you're 100% wrong, and maybe I'm misreading how you were presenting this, but the reason that Hoskins trolled McNeil was a fake tough guy. He stood over him. He had tons of opportunity to do something. He could have slapped him in the back of the head. He could have waited for him to stand up.
I don't disagree.
Get in his face, and he didn't. And
well,
then
that's
he
what
waited.
I said. I said if I were McNeil, I would have punched him. But if McNeil's a fake tough
Hoskins
guy.
But you were screaming about doing the crybaby little thing, and that's like being in a bar. Somebody comes at you, pushes you in the chest, and then you let the guy do that, and then he walks away, and then 3 seconds later, when there are 50 people between the two of us, you all of a sudden get fake tough guy.
Well, that's what Hoskins did.
I think it's weak.
No.
I think it was very weak.
You could have the opinion, Josh.
But he didn't do anything.
You could have that opinion, and I don't disagree with you. I mean, if you want to go after McNeil for being a fake tough guy, I've got no problem with that. But if you're going to think McNeil's a fake tough guy, then what do you call Hoskins, who waited until he was behind his teammates to start mocking McNeil? He could have got up and said, "What's your problem? You're screaming at me, fake tough guy. Do something." Like, that's what Hoskins should have done. If he's got a problem with McNeil, challenge him. All right, guy, you're yapping. Let's see you do something. Instead, he runs back behind his teammates.
Couldn't McNeil McNeil could have done something too. He was literally standing on top of him. If he was really that upset,
all right,
he did something.
But all right, fine. We agree. Oh, but that's fine.
Pregnant.
But then no. But that's fine. But then how do you excuse Hoskins' behavior?
Because he walked away. There was nothing to be done. Right. It was a legal slide.
Okay. Let's follow your train of thought.
I played the position.
Let's follow your train of thought. Let's follow your train of thought. All right. And I even said during my rant, if he had ran back to the dugout and never engaged McNeil, never even acknowledged him, then I think you would be right. But instead, once he got back to the safety around his teammates, that's when he did the crybaby stuff and started shouting at him. No, no, no. You can't do. You either shout at him right there or you let it go.
McNeil was the offended party. He was the one that was getting all uppity, and then he let it go. So at that point,
then why jog away?
Okay,
he's yelling. He's standing over you, Josh. He is standing over you, screaming at you. You ignore it until you get back to the dugout. No.
Because
now, you can call McNeil a fake tough guy, and I don't disagree. I don't disagree. But why did he have to scream back at him?
You were getting all upset earlier saying, this was wrong. This should not be happening. Why is this happening to the Mets? They always let this happen to the Mets.
Yes. Okay, and then what did I say? That if I were McNeil, I would have punched him. I can't help you don't listen, Josh.
Don't do something.
I can't help that you don't listen to what I say. You heard me say, I guess you didn't, I said this is why the Mets get punked, because McNeil just screams at him and didn't punch him. If I were McNeil, I would have punched him. All right, that's already said. We kind of agree. But then you're going to let Hoskins up for jogging away, and then once he's behind his wall of Brewers, that's when he starts rubbing his eyes and shouting back at McNeil. No, no, no. That's fake tough guy. Now, if you want to say McNeil should have punched him, I agree with you. If you want to say McNeil was a fake tough guy for only screaming at him, okay, we can have a conversation about it. But I'm 100% wrong. I can't help it if you didn't listen to my rant.
It's a compelling argument, because I think they both came off very nozzly.
I agree.
When you sort of break it down.
And what did I say McNeil should have done, Peter?
Punched him right in the forehead.
But he didn't. All right? Fine. But he was there. At least he stood on top of him and engaged him. Hoskins didn't engage him until he was back at the safety of his dugout. That's wrong. But if you want to say they were both fake tough guys, I started the whole rant saying this is what's wrong with baseball. They're all fake tough guys. Like Peter said, the headline's going to be bench clearing brawl. There was no brawl. They all jog out of the dugout out of obligation. Nothing ever happens. Ever. But in other sports, you'll actually see back in the day with Daryl Strawberry, he's chasing Orioles in the dugout. He was trying to punch somebody out. That's the way you do it. Or do nothing. I said there's two things that I would do if I was a major league ball player and I got hit by a pitch. Either charge the mound or jog to first base. What did I say, Peter? All the yap, 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 point, 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 yap, yap. That was for both McNeil and Hoskins. I can't help if you got wax in your ears. Go to a doctor. They put water in there. They blow it right out. Next thing you know, you're hearing everything.
So many phone calls to get to, and ENN around the corner. But first, Don, talking about Mazda.
Get more in a new Mazda, will you? From Ramsey Mazda, more selection, over 750 new vehicles available, and more savings on their entire Mazda lineup, like the new 2024 Mazda CX-30 2.5S, all-wheel drive, lease for just $179 a month at Ramsey Mazda, Route 17 North in Ramsey. Choose wisely, choose Ramsey Mazda, call 888-885-2891 for lease details. Excludes tax, title, registration, zero security deposit, VIN RM634194, MSRP $26,445, ends 4/1/24.
Don LaGreca here to tell you about my friends at Bath Fitter. They remodeled my mom's bath, did an awesome job. The process was easy. One expert installer, even with the customization she needed for a cast iron tub. It was done in one day with no demo or mess. It's beautiful. It's a high-quality permanent solution. Bath Fitter provides a lifetime guarantee. 3 million happy customers like my mom. For a limited time, get 0% interest or save $500 on a complete Bath Fitter system. So start designing your bath today at bathfitterdesign.com. There is only one Bath Fitter.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Well, that's awesome.
Looking for more access to the show?
That's right, man.
Check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at TMKS ESPN.
Bang! Bang! The point's gone.
You have made no good points, Peter.
You're so right, Michael.
I think you made some salient points.
Yeah, because you're an ass. McNeil should have slapped him. Should have slapped him and taken the suspension because the Mets get treated like punks all the time. And I know it's stupid. There's nothing the Mets can now do about it because the game is almost over. Now, if Severino plunks Hoskins tomorrow, he'll get thrown out of the game because baseball's gutless and they'll issue warnings before the game, so the Mets will have no retribution. McNeil should have just punched him. And it's game one of the season, for God's sake. Set the tone. If you feel like your knee was almost taken out by this piece of garbage, then fight him. Engage him. You should have chased him into the dugout because Hoskins got no guts. He runs back until he's got a wall of Brewers around him and then responds to him. What a baby. You're the baby.
Don, I knew it. I knew it. I knew it. You had about five times today you could have won it.
Well, thank you. It is Friday, after all.
What does that mean?
I mean, it's a big day. It's a last chance. Last chance saloon, right?
And, Don, it's Good Friday. And you had a Good Friday.
It is a Good Friday for those who celebrate. Easter's coming up on Sunday. What's the Passover situation, Peter?
Passover situation is, it is late in April.
Yeah, the Jews and the Christians aren't jiving this year.
No, their calendars ain't lining up. You know what, Don? That's a deeper issue. But calendar-wise, yeah, it's not. It's a ways out. It's a ways out.
Because usually there's a little where you can like wish a happy Passover and Easter. That wouldn't apply here.
No, not
too
happening.
Much of a gap.
A big gap. Spring break's all messed up. It's a damn shame what's going on. But let's take some more phone calls before this thing's all said and done. Also, I got to tell you, man, I'm sure I'm going to see Michael Rubin next week at WrestleMania. I think I got to ask him what's going on with the jerseys. The jerseys look, Don, the Mets jerseys today, the letters look ridiculous.
I don't know, we got to mess with stuff. Like, you got a name on the back, it just looks ridiculous. This leaves too much space. I don't like it.
It's really not what you want, to be honest with you. All right, phone calls on the way out. Let's go to Cliffy in Binghamton. Hey, Cliffy.
How you doing, guys?
What's up?
Happy Easter. Everybody, all Christians out there, have a happy and blessed Easter. But, hey, Don, I can't believe you missed this one on the running backs.
Which one?
Oh, well, go ahead.
I'm looking at a football right now signed by Super Bowl 25 MVP, O.J.,
Yeah, O.J. Anderson's a good one. I don't know if I'd have him in my top five because he was a really good running back with Arizona. I wouldn't call him a superstar, and he comes to the Giants, wins a couple of Super Bowls, Super Bowl MVP. But who are you taking out, Peter? I mean, you're going to have Eric Dickerson in there, Marcus Allen, Jerome Bettis. Who else did he mention in there? I had it written down because I was so taken by the conversation. He had Ricky Waters in there, who we immediately took out for Marcus Allen, and Eric Dickerson. Curtis Martin.
Yeah. Kumar, as I call him.
You want to take McCaffrey? I'm not taking McCaffrey out for OJ, are you?
No.
But I like it. I'm a Giant
fan. I'll be honest, I kind of missed the early OJ Anderson. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. Well, he was drafted in 79. You were born.
Yeah. So I didn't know him. He was fading out a bit as I was watching and appreciating O.J. Anderson. Let's go to Paul in Philly. Hey, Paul.
Hey, guys. Love the show. You guys are the best part of my day. Oh. And I'm looking forward. I got to find a way to get to that show on Thursday. I think the tickets were sold out. You gotta hook me up.
What, for what, our live show?
The thing at the convention center. I think I was looking at tickets online. It was sold out.
Oh, really? Darn.
Yeah, I gotta find a hookup somehow.
That's not what you want. All right, yeah. We hope you get in there.
All right. Yeah, I'll work some magic. But here's what I want to talk about. I mean, I was just wondering. This is mainly for Don and Peter. Maybe you can chime in if you agree with me. But are we really gonna go through another 161 games of talking about analytics like it's some boogeyman word, like it's some monster hiding in a closet? Like, I'm just thinking about it, like, if you were to replace the word analytics with information, like, it's not some, like, crazy concept. Like, it's actual statistics. You know,
yeah,
I mean, like...
No, it's not the statistics we have a problem with, Paul. It's how much they're a slave to that information. Like, it consumes them.
Don, when you're driving somewhere, do you use a GPS on your phone?
No.
No, if I don't know where I'm going.
Yeah, so you, it's like using the GPS on your phone. Yeah, maybe every once in a while, yeah, you take a back road or something, you make a cut. But more often than not, I mean, I don't drive to work. But if I were to drive to work, like, you know, you would... I would still plug it in even if I'm nowhere I'm going, because maybe there's traffic and maybe it would reroute me. You know, maybe it you know, it's usually successful when you run into traffic. You know, it knows where traffic is, where I might not.
Let's follow through with your analogy. But if you know where you're going, you don't use it.
If I know where I'm going, I still use it. I have it plugged in because I never know where traffic is going
to
be.
Is there an occasion, because it happens to me, where I'm on the turnpike and it's telling me to take exit. It's telling me to take exit 13, and I'm like, no, I'm going to stay on the turnpike. And then I find out later on that if I had taken exit 13, I might have bought myself an extra minute. But you know what? I'm going to follow through on the turnpike. There are times you're like, no, my feeling tells me this is better to go this way than to listen to it every single second. That means that there's some nuance to it. But the problem with analytics is, no, they're telling me to take exit 13. I got to take exit 13.
You're acting like you've never gotten stuck in traffic for something you didn't know about?
Yeah. But if you're telling me there's an accident, but if you're telling me that getting off the highway is going to save me 30 seconds, you know what? I'm good.
All right, well, then you could take it. All right, you lose the 30 seconds, but wouldn't you rather? But sometimes it's more than 30 seconds. Sometimes it may be 15 minutes. That's the difference. That could be the difference between winning and losing a division.
So you can't have any gut. You can't have any, you know what? I feel like.
No.
This,
absolutely not. I agree with you.
All right, but here's the problem with your analogy, all right? The GPS is going to be correct 100% of the time. But there's no absolutes in baseball. So they're telling you, go with the 75% of the time because your gut is only good 65% of the time. But I feel like maybe I've got a little bit more information about the numbers. Maybe I know that player has a newborn baby and he stayed up late. Or maybe I know that I just have a feel about a particular moment because I've been in the game for 30 years and I'm going to go with my gut here. I feel like it's not the information. It's how they are a complete 100% occult about it. Like, they just will not veer from it. That's the thing that drives me crazy. Oh, I can't have that pitcher go a third time through the order.
Right.
I'm with Don. Because the numbers will say that, but no, well, how about the fact that he's mowing them down? I feel good about it. He's only thrown 60 pitches. I'm sticking with the guy. That's the difference.
I'm with you on this, Don. I do think it's a bad, probably, comp to using an app while you're driving. Because, your Google Maps and Waze are updated constantly, and they're basically always right. Every once in a while, you don't listen to it. It works out for you, but it's not an apples-to-apples thing. And there's just, there's rarely heart is not involved in your directions decisions, but heart is involved in sports decisions. And you have to be able to measure what a player's metal is that goes beyond the stats. You have to. Let's take a break here so Anthony can step in and give you a very special, nothing like a final ENN of the week when it's led by Anthony Pusick on an NCAA tournament opening baseball weekend. Oh, you kidding me? It's going to be an absolute bacchanal. That is coming up next right here on 98.7 ESPN.
Don LaGreca here to tell you about my friends at Bathfitter. They remodeled my mom's bath, did an awesome job. The process was easy. One expert installer, even with the customization she needed for a cast iron tub. It was done in one day with no demo or mess. It's beautiful. It's a high-quality permanent solution. Bathfitter provides a lifetime guarantee. 3 million happy customers like my mom. For a limited time, get 0% interest or save $500 on a complete Bathfitter system. So start designing your bath today at bathfitterdesign.com. There's only one Bathfitter.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.